We are coming to the Word of God, and we will continue with Ephesians because it fits into this wonderful theme of the risen Lord. So I'll read to you Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The Apostle Paul is saying unto us, wherefore remember. He's saying, remember. We remember Christ, who was crucified, who suffered and died. Christ, who was laid in the tomb, who rose again. His death and his resurrection, changing everything. The scripture says, for to this end he both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord of both the living and the dead. He has risen, and he is our Lord. We are his sheep of his pasture, and he is our God. And because he died and lived, and because he lives, we shall live. Because he rose, we shall rise. He defeated death and the grave. We can say, O death, where is your sting? He has been given a place which is high above every place. He's supreme above every name. And our title today is Remembering the Greatest Gift of All Time and Eternity, Christ who died and Christ who is risen. Therefore remember that once you were Gentiles. What does that mean? You were carnal, you were lost, you were unregenerate, you were not born again. Remember, you were separated, you were shut out of connection with Christ. You had no hope. You had no future. You were strangers to the promises, strangers to every covenant that the Lord made. And you were without knowledge of a single promise. Before Christ came to us, we knew nothing of his marvelous truth. He has changed everything. He has come. He has died. And he has risen. Now we have something to look forward to. Before, we had nothing to look forward to. And as a result of only because of his obedience and dying on the cross, nothing that we did, it is what he did for us that we have a hope and a future. At this time of year, we remember the perfect Lamb of God, our Savior, who came and died for us on the cross. He took our guilt and he took our sin, and he loved us so much that he died for us. We who were far away, we have been made near by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what one of the things that he accomplished. Those that were separated, those that were far, he brought them near by the blood of Christ. And through the blood of Christ, we have been bought into the household of God. You're not your own. You have been purchased, not with silver, not with gold, which perishes, but with the precious blood of Christ. We are now children of his household. He made covenant with us, and he gave us covenant promises All of this is ours in Christ Jesus. He gave us access into the Holy of Holies, access where we can obtain mercy and find help. He gave us an eternal inheritance, an inheritance that is in the light, not in darkness, an inheritance that is in purity, and it is so perfect. There is no father that loved his children as much as Father God. Can any father do more for his children than our Heavenly Father has done for us? His love is summed up in the Bible verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's what he did for us. But now in Christ, we who were sometimes far away have been made near by the blood of Christ. We who were far away, worse still, we who were enemies of God. But now we have been made near. The scripture says that even when we were still enemies of God, he loved us and died for us and paid the price for us and brought us near by his blood. Peace was made. He is our peace. There was a wall or a barrier of sin dividing us and God, and he broke down that middle wall of partition. He's our peace, our mediator of peace between God and man, but also the scripture says between Jew and Gentile. Jew and Gentiles used to fight each other, didn't like each other. If a Jew was walking down the road and a Gentile was coming down the road, he would cross over the road onto the other side because he didn't want to meet a Gentile. He hated Gentiles. But now the Jew and Gentile, the enmity between them has been removed. And we'll see some of the significance of that in a few minutes. We remember that this day, the day of the Lord's resurrection, we remember Christ, our Lord, the grave that couldn't keep him. He lives forevermore. You and I have been reconciled unto him. God doth talk with man now. He is in fellowship with us. And because he lives, we live. His eye is upon us. He cares for us. Could there be any God, as I said, that loves us more, that has a purer reason? That reason is love. He loved us. That's why he went to the cross. He's shown so much grace for us. This is why we remember. He made a new covenant. We are in covenant with the Lord. New covenant. The end came to the ceremonial law. When Christ came, he fulfilled all the law. He fulfilled all the prophecies. And he became the perfect sacrifice. The Old Testament law was done away with. The dividing wall between God and man and between Jew and Gentile was collapsed. And both are treated the same way now. So this is about a new body, a new creation, a new church, a new and a living way. Let me explain what I mean. The saints of old had a beautiful illustration for this, the merger of the Jew and the Gentile. And they put it like this. They used an illustration that they just gave birth to in the imagination of their minds, but it's a beautiful picture and I want to share it. Suppose we have a statue that's made of pure silver, and this silver represents the Jewish people, unconverted formalists. And then we have another statue that is made of lead. It represents the Gentiles who were further away from God, who were ignorant of God entirely. You take the two statues and you melt them down, and the miracle takes place. What you get is pure gold. A gold statue is created. It's a picture of something entirely different, something more valuable, more wonderful than the amalgamation of silver and lead, or Jew and Gentile. Unsaved Jew, unsaved Gentile, saved by Christ, brought together in one church in a new creation. It was not a Jewish church and a Gentile church. It was not even a Jew-Gentile. It was something entirely new, a new creation. That's what Christ has done. He has made a new creation. We have become new creations in Christ. We are reconciled not only to God, but we are reconciled to each other. God requires that we are reconciled to each other, Jew and Gentile, one. There are no divisions in heaven. When you get to heaven one day, there's not going to be a side. They said the Jews are there, the Gentiles are there. No, there is one God and one Father, and they are one people, all children of the God, of the Lord. And through him, you and I have been adopted into that family. We are his children. He is our God, one God. He was the one that was slain, and he has redeemed himself, a people from every kindred, every tongue, and every nation. We are now believers and fellow citizens of the kingdom of God. We are bound to seek each other's good. We are bound to conform to the laws. The God's word is his law of the new kingdom of which we have become part of. The believers of old, many years ago, they understood this truth, that not only are we in covenant with God, but we are in covenant with each other. And they had what was called church covenants, where if you wanted to become a member of a church, they would read to you the church covenant. Can I read you just such a one? A very short one. It's by a very well-known author by the name of John Bunyan. And all the members of the church did their very best to keep this covenant. And they understood that there was one head and that they were members of the body and they were members of his family. Let's read. We, who through the mercy of God and our Lord Jesus Christ have obtained grace, give ourselves to the Lord, and we give ourselves to one another by the will of God, to have communion with one another as saints in one gospel fellowship. Oh, that we would be those people. They said, we do before God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ and the holy angels, we agree and we promise to walk together in the one gospel, communion and fellowship as the church of Jesus Christ, in the love of God for one another. And we endeavor to yield sincere and healthy obedience to the laws, ordinances and appointments of our Lord and lawgiver of the church. We also do agree and promise, with the Lord assisting us, to follow after things which make for peace, and things wherewith we may edify one another, so that we may be living and walking in love and peace. The God of love and peace may be with us. Amen. And this was their covenant. They promised before the Lord that they would stick to this covenant. And you and I are members of God's household. We are not individual stones. We are built together. We see this in Ephesians 2:20. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles. We are built together upon Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The foundation of the apostles and prophets laid by the preaching of Christ. They healed forth as the only mediator between God and man. The only Savior, the only head of the church, Christ, the rock on whom we build. We are being built together into his household. He makes provision for his children. The children of his household must obey the master of the household. Well, actually, they want to obey. You see, they've been forgiven of much. And because they have been forgiven of much, they love much and they want to obey much. They are not forced to do the word. They love to do the word. They learn of him. They follow him as the great example. But they also learn from each other. Christians are not only members of an eternal kingdom, they are members of the family of God. In olden times, buildings were built without cement. Stones were put together very carefully. If a stone had a rough edge or was crooked, they would knock off the rough edges. They would carefully fashion the stones to fit exactly together and form the building. This is a picture of us, living stones that are shaped by our master, that we are joined and fit together to build not a normal physical building, but to build his church, to build a spiritual building, lively stones being built into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason we are suitable stones is because we are born again, because we are washed clean in the blood of Jesus. Let us never slip back into our old crooked ways. How will we be built into God's building when we are old crooked ways? Let us put those rough ways aside. Let us not become hostile, but let us be fashioned and fit together to make a beautiful building. Let us remember the most important component of all, to build our lives upon the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ himself, to line everything up with God's word and God's way. Christ is building his church. He's fashioning the living stones, stones that were purchased at Calvary with his own precious blood. The church is what he died for, and is well able to keep his church and provide for his church. The church is the one particular place where he dwells by his presence. He has chosen to tabernacle amongst his people, we, his peculiar people. It's not one denomination or another. It's made up not by denominations. It's made up by names that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? The foundation of the Lord is perfect. The plan of the Lord is perfect. I've had some building experience. I've built some things. And when it's finished, I look and I say, if I could do this again, I surely would have not done this and that. I would change this and that. Oh, I made a mistake there. But when God, who planned and builds his church and puts the living stones together, it is absolutely perfect. He does not stand back at the end and say, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done it this way. He is the perfect architect. He knows what he's doing. And I take comfort in this because I may think, I'm just a little stone. I wish I was a big stone. I'm a stone that has so few talents. I wish I had more talents. But God has seen to build me in to the place that he has put me and has put you. And let us stay where the Lord has put us. If we stay where the Lord has put us, the building will be beautiful, will be glorious, will be complete. But if one stone says, I refuse to stay here. I want to be a big stone, and leaves a hole. That one stone mars the entire building, and the building isn't as beautiful as it ought to be. Oh, the Lord knows what he's doing. He has made a habitation and a house with his hands. It is God's building. God knows what he's doing. You say, well, the church has been so attacked. It has been so polluted. But let me tell you one thing. Although the church has been attacked, it has never been defeated. Not once. There's been multitudes of enemies that have battered against the church through the ages. But they have battered in vain. Multitudes of enemies have said God's word is not true. I remember hearing a preacher the other day. He went to a certain museum in Europe. And this museum was the home of somebody, a philosopher, that said, in 100 years from now, the Bible will be in a museum. And you know what? Where that philosopher lived became the headquarters for the Bible Society to distribute Bibles. He was in a museum, he was dead, and his house was now used for the distribution of Bibles. The Bible will not die. The Word of God is settled forever. The enemies of God will be gone, but the Word of God remains. God will never, the church isn't in danger. She never can be. Let her enemies come. Let them come. She will resist them. Great is the Lord. He is building his church. And the scripture says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The Lord watches over her. The Lord who neither slumbers nor sleeps. She is safe. And because we are members, we are safe. We are built by God in his infinite wisdom, built beautifully. You know, I wanted to say something. Let me say it. We are built by God. We are members of the church, of the kingdom, but we are members of each other. There should be no separation. And I'll touch a sensitive subject. Oh, brother, they are from Western. We are from Central. Oh, brother. But no, if they are born again, they are our brothers. And we are part of one family. And we are in covenant with each other. And we will spend eternity with them. Let us not have schisms in the body of Christ. Let us receive those that are washed and cleansed in the blood of Jesus as brothers, as sisters. Let us do all the good that we can do to each other. Let us not exclude them and cross over like the Jew and Gentile. Oh, there comes one. I'll cross over to the other side of the road. I don't want to see them. No, we don't want to be like that. We want to be full like our Master, full of the love of God. He died for all. He gave himself for all. I close with Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 22. In whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. We remember that he died and that he rose again and he's seated above at the right hand of the Father. What grace and what love he has given us, his children. He has given us the gift of all gifts. He's given us eternal life. And that is that we may know him and walk with him. How sad when we see a beautiful building that is empty, cold, unoccupied, no life in it. How sad when we see somebody who claims to be a member of God's kingdom, when they are cold and empty and no love and no peace and no joy. Oh, when they are just shells, empty houses without life. Christ is risen indeed. Christ is throned on our hearts. We should never be empty. The perfect Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, he shall have a people from every tribe, every creed, and every tongue. We have this everlasting gospel where every nation, every person can come unto him and receive pardon. Oh, let us herald and proclaim this good news wherever we go. Christ is indeed risen. Christ is alive. And let those who don't yet know him, let him melt your heart. Let him come into your heart and become Lord and King and make you one of his children. Amen and amen.